You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The challenges of running a tiny remote school district are a lot different than an urban or suburban district. You have a small number of students coming from great distances, so if money's tight, consolidating with a neighboring district isn't much of an option. Five isolated school districts, two in the UP and districts on Mackinac, Beaver, and Drummond Islands, rely on state funding from the $7 million isolated school fund. But that fund was zeroed out by Governor Whitmer in her flurry of 147 line item vetoes, and the shockwaves were immediate. And now State Representative Sarah Cambense is hoping to restore that funding. The Democrat from Marquette is here with us now. Representative, what did you hear from superintendents from these isolated districts?
To be perfectly honest, the word they used was devastating. This would literally force their schools to shut down by the springtime. And knowing that there would be 25% cut in their funding to those Paradise schools, which I have one of, they were worried their teachers were going to jump ship now. So they're in panic mode. I look at the other nine districts on that list that receive funding out of 22D, and you know they're going to have to make severe cuts to their busing, some of their classroom aid. So the cuts were real, and a lot of times people think the rural areas are all red or Republican, but I'm up there kind of in the middle of it, and these cuts certainly hurt me just as much as my colleagues on the other side.
And just to help people understand life in these very, very tiny remote districts. So let's say for the 26 students in the Burt Township District there in Grand Marais, what would it mean if their school had to close? Where is it they would go?
When we were there last Friday, we heard parents say that they would have to move. So quit their jobs, move out of those small communities, put their students in other districts that are an hour, some even longer and further away. So their main concern was, if this school closes, I don't want my son or daughter to sit on a bus for an hour and a half in the morning and then again at night. And when you look at the square miles that they bus, I mean, they're busing kids, you know, in an 800 square mile radius daily on some of these districts.
So the ripple effects spread out from the school building into communities possibly losing families.
Yes. And that's why, you know, when we went to Burt Township, the township supervisor came, school board members came. We even had a small business owner come and kind of tell us, you know, what this impact is on them. And when you hear that, I can tell you that it resonated with me. It resonated, you know, with my Republican senators that were also visiting the district, that we have to get down here and get back to work and really work together on some of this stuff.
So you are a Democrat introducing a supplemental bill to restore funding that was cut by Governor Whitmer. Is it accurate to say you're not completely on board with her approach to these budget negotiations?
You know, I think what happened was is the severity of this hit us, you know, last week to where we started working on a supplemental long before we knew what the Republicans were doing, long before we knew what the governor was doing. And so, you know, when my colleagues, who are Republicans, went to pull their bill package, they could only get 23 out of the 24 bills because I had already put one in. And so that's where the conversation started with allowing me to still put that bill in and trying to communicate with the governor on exactly how drastic this cut was and why I need to do what I need to do.
So you jumped right in before the Republicans even had a chance to put a bill in to restore this isolated district money.
I did.
What would you like to see the governor have done differently?
You know, I think it's hard. You know, for the last 8 years, we've had all one party controlling government down here in Lansing. So I think there are some growing pains on both sides just to kind of see how the power is going to play out and even how to negotiate. I mean, I think over 8 years, you forget, you know, certainly how to negotiate and that for some of my Republican colleagues that they actually have to come to the table and negotiate now that the governor does have veto power. And I think we're working through that. It's painful. We're in the public eye. But I can tell you that every day, every hour down here, we're getting closer to getting the budget together. It's not, you know, a knockdown, drag-out fight. We actually are working together, and I think we'll get there.
We've seen throughout this process both the governor and the Republican legislative leaders blaming each other, with each saying the other side is using this as a political football. How do you see this?
You know, I honestly see it right where my residents and constituents do. I'm sick of it. Both sides are doing it. And I think that's why I came down last week and said, I got to do something. This is what my constituents want. I work for them. I don't want to be responsible for sitting by and watching both sides duke it out. And that's why I jumped on that bill and said, I'm starting with this one. And, you know, there were three others I was going to start working on. But, you know, luckily, both sides are at the table right now. And I do think we can stop the bomb throwing from each side and actually come together and say, we did it. We solved the problems. We put that funding back in.
And have you had a chance to talk with either the governor or House Speaker Chatfield about the situation specifically with the isolated schools?
You know, it's mostly her staff, people that work under her. We've worked closely. You know, certainly they understand that a lot of the programs that were cut in rural areas also affect me. You know, I think that's why Speaker Chatfield, when he found out I had that bill, just said, you know what, we're going to let you have that one. I understand you're trying to fight for the same things we are. So both sides understand that. And again, I just think we're working through, you know, the relationships and what does it mean to actually come to the table and compromise on both sides and what is best for the people. Because at the end of the day, my dad always told me, you know, when you take these jobs as elected officials, you take a step down and you work for everyone above you. And that's the people who put you there, whether they voted for you or not, that's who you work for. And I think we're getting to that point, but I think what's played out in the public eye is that we're working through, you know, our growing pains.
We are talking about five districts serving 319 kids, and there is a discrepancy between the per pupil allotment that these students are getting when you compare to other districts that are also struggling. How do you answer anyone who questions, is this really fair?
You know, at least in the UP, I haven't had anyone question that. I think if a nearby school district were to pick up those students, they would have the same funding challenges. They would be spending more to go out and bus and pick those students up. So I think there's an understanding, at least in the UP, that this is the best way to handle those isolated districts that might have a small year-round population, but in the summer with tourism, those towns are blossoming and full of people. Down here, my colleagues might not understand it as well, but I think as we go through, you know, line items and talk about the school aid fund and other more expensive needs for some of our students, you know, that will be my time to kind of stand up and give my side of the story on why this funding is critical for my districts.
Marquette Democratic Representative Sarah Cambensi of the 109th District, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.